BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. We'd like to apologise to listeners as, due to an unforeseen technical hitch, we appear to have gone 30 seconds without playing an ad for digital radio. It seems what's happened is that because the tapes have been played so often, they've crumbled to dust. But don't worry, a team of highly paid technicians are already compiling another 7 hours' worth. So while we're waiting, we're going to play in something called a radio programme for half an hour. Normal service will be resumed ASAP, and we'll be back to broadcasting ads for radio stations you can't hear, broadcast on radios nobody can afford to buy.
Ringers.
People of Britain, this is your Prime Minister. Scared forehead, nervous teeth, lead-lined underpants. As you are well aware, this week a mystery substance was discovered in a quiet suburban North London street. Recognising the seriousness of the situation, quick-thinking police officers immediately sealed off the area and the substance was removed by army personnel wearing special protective suits. It was transported directly to a government laboratory for analysis by our very best scientists, and they have confirmed what we had feared, that it is indeed a substance capable of paralysing our population and bringing Britain to its knees. Yes, it is snow.
And you're back with us live from the Sydney Cricket Ground with Australia's last batsman, McGill, facing Caddick. And he's bowled him. That's Australia all out for 226, which means, my goodness, that means that England has won. They've actually won the fifth test. Splendid. Oh, yes. Paul Hogan, Damien Beveridge, Clive James, Rolf Harris, Kenny Packer, Rupert Murdoch, Ellie McPherson, Bill Kerr, Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, Kylie Minogue. Can you hear me, Kylie Minogue? Your boys took one hell of a beating. Your boys took one hell of a beating. I'm sorry, I'm awfully sorry, listeners. I don't know what came over me there. It's just that we don't win test matches down here very often. Can you hear me, Kylie Minogue? One hell of a beating.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Now spreads straight from the fridge. Well, as you may know, we had a bad start to the year here on Radio 4 when we were unable to broadcast the chimes of Big Ben owing to a technical fault. And I'm afraid we've a further apology to make. Due to yet another error, last Tuesday's edition of You and Yours was broadcast. We'd like to apologise for the great distress and annoyance this caused our listeners. We quite understand how upset people must be to have sat through You and Yours instead of the electrical interference and white noise they were hoping to hear. But Radio 4 would like to assure listeners that no such appalling lapses in their listening experience will occur again. And now, the Archers. Oh, damn.
I don't care what you say, Joe Grundy. I think that was a stupid way to spend that £3,000 you got from that solicitor.
It was my money to spend as I see fit.
And you really think those collagen lip implants were a good idea, Mr. Grundy?
Yes, I do. I look a damn sight prettier than Leslie Arse. Watch out, here comes Brian Aldridge.
I tell you, Joe, ever since his affair with Siobhan became common knowledge, Brian hasn't been the same.
Of course I haven't been the same, Clary. Well, that's because Brian Aldridge is now being played by me, Sir Ian McKellen. Oh, you don't think a cardboard cut-out boo-hiss role could be played by anyone other than me, do you? It'll be like the X-Men film all over again. Once again, I'll be the scheming, heartless villain surrounded by freaks. Only this time they'll have tractors.
Don't be so sure of that, McKellen.
Not you again, Rickman.
I'm far more suited for playing this agricultural caricature. After all that time I spent overacting in the forest in Robin of Sherwood. I'm used to being surrounded by things that are wooden.
Not if my laser cannon stroke milking machine has anything to do with it.
Well, I've got Linda Snell under my jacket and her safety catch is... Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Both of our new Brian Aldridges have killed one another. Let's hope whoever the new Brian Aldridge is, he isn't someone completely rubbish.
Hello! I'm Brian Blessed! That won't get the pigs in!
Oh, no.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. The Gollum of News. The headlines again. Radio 4 bosses are still trying to work out the technical reasons why the network failed to broadcast the sound of Big Ben at midnight on New Year's Eve. The reason is simple. It was me. In fact, Big Ben made no sound at all. That's because I'd superglued Peter Donaldson's head between the bell and the hammer. Well, I think we all know there's only one news governor, and that's me, Brian the Hulk Perkins. So at midnight, I sat on a crate sipping a can of Kestrel, while 2003 came in accompanied by the 12 messy squishing sounds and pitiful bleats of Donaldson banging against the bell. Remember, there's only one Brian Perkins, and it's Brian Perkins. Bite me.
Mr. President, have you finished studying the map we gave you?
Yes, I have. And I believe that I will now be able to find my way to the bathroom on my own.
Great. And what about those ones of Iraq we also gave you?
I don't want to talk your eyes about Iraq no more. Boy, did that get boring quickly. No. I want to consecrate this week on my tax cuts. Our economy is in repossession. And I have taken it upon myself to personally stimulate the American people.
With $674 million worth of tax cuts, how are you going to afford that?
There's no need to be apprehended. Over the holidays, I signed a massive arms deal that'll bring us in twice as much as these tax cuts cost us.
Well done, sir. So who's bought our state-of-the-art weaponry? Britain, France, or Germany?
No, it was just some real nice fellow with a mustache.
In addition to the digital radio channels which you've all heard about, there's also a host of other lesser-known niche BBC digital channels to enjoy. For instance, why not try BBC Nine? A brand new station for people who aren't quite trendy enough to listen to One Extra, who are just too young to start listening to Radio 2. And what about BBC Ten? For people who are scared of the people who listen to One Extra because they might mug them. And what about BBC 11, the station for listeners who didn't go to as posh schools as Radio 3 listeners, but who are much less frightened of the people who listen to One Extra than the people listening to BBC 10? They, of course, would never dream of holidaying near Radio 3 listeners, who drive better cars than Radio 6 listeners, and who once bought drugs off someone called Cedric, who listens to One Extra. BBC Digital Radio. One land, one love, one listener.
This is the news at 10. News for men who don't have to try too hard. After the shock resignation of Cilla Black, ITV have unveiled the new presenter of Blind Date.
Chloe from Shrewsbury faces an agonising choice. Will it be number one? He's the cook who says you're the icing on his cake. Will it be number two? He's a dab hand with the drill, but he promises you won't be left on the shelf. Or will it be number three? If you were on fire, he'd make you wet. That's Chloe from Shrewsbury's Choice, with me, Michael Burke, after the break.
My name is Greg Dyke, and I am Director General of the BBC. Tomorrow's world, I want your desk cleared by five. And I've already counted how many paper clips and staplers there are in the stationery cupboard, so don't even think about it. Now, as you might have heard, the top BBC Two show over the festive season was The Fight. Well, that's hardly surprising. It's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? Two unfit blokes knocking six bells out of one another. But do you know how they prepared for going 15 rounds with someone determined to beat them into a bloody pulp? Well, Ricky Gervais trained for 3 months solid with Lennox Lewis's trainer. While Grant Bovey, he just casually mentioned to Anthea Turner that maybe it was a good thing she's not on TV anymore. pretty much amounted to the same thing. Oh, Yentob, does this Ainsley Harriet you got me need batteries to get it started or what?
Hello and welcome to Any Answers. I'm the Dimblebee that doesn't chase ambulances. On last night's Any Questions, we discussed subjects as far-reaching as gun crime, war, terrorism and global warming. So let's go to our first caller.
Hello, can I start by sounding quite normal and reasonable?
Of course.
And then can I suddenly go off on a very right-wing tangent?
Can I just interject with a reasonable counter-argument in the hope you'll moderate yourself?
Which I'll completely ignore as I make some outrageous comment about Hitler having the right idea.
Can I just pause there and speak a bit slower, which is the radio equivalent of backing away from a loony who was sat next to you on the train? I'll then go straight to the next caller in the hope that they make slightly more sense.
Hello, Jonathan. I'm very nervous, and I seem to think that it's interesting that I've never called one of these phone-in shows before.
Well, don't worry about that, because I'm going to spend an eternity sounding fatherly and being incredibly patient as I try to extract any sort of a point at all from you.
But I just carry on being rambly and nervous, and it just seems as if I might finally be getting to a point. I suddenly stop speaking right out of a...
It's right about now that I realise that just like every other week, I've wasted almost the entire show on a handful of rambling nutters and only have 10 seconds left for our final topic.
Well, about that, I wanted to make the point that...
Sorry, you can't make that point, as I have to interrupt you to tell you that we're running out of time, so you'll have to be quick.
Well, the point I wanted to make was...
Please, I'll have to stop you there to tell you to hurry up.
Well, my point is...
Too late, sorry, have to cut you off there, as my constant interruptions demanding you be quick have in fact taken up what few seconds there were remaining in the show. All that's left for me to do now is tell you that next week's Any Questions comes from some godforsaken village and will feature a disturbing amount of clapping every time one of the panellists says something incredibly small-minded, petty, or vaguely homophobic. Good night.
Good afternoon, Tony Guy from Broadway. How can I help?
Hey, is that the place where you, like, cut people's hair off and you might perm it and chop little bits off here and all that kind of thing?
Yes, it is.
That's great. I wondered if I could make a little appointment to just get my own little hair done, because it's been a little while.
Okay, what day would you like to for that?
How's about tomorrow?
Can book you in tomorrow, 10 o'clock?
That'd be great. Can I just have a little consultation on how I want it?
They'll give you a quick consultation before you have the haircut.
That's good, because I just want a little bit taken off over on the side there, like that.
Okay.
And just a little bit taken off the back up there.
Can I take
like that.
Your name, please?
And then just a little bit along the side over there, like that.
Okay.
I wondered if you could do me hair like Adam Ant. Do you remember him?
Adam Ant?
Yeah.
I think maybe before my time.
Really? He was this great singer. He had a big white stripe across his nose, and he sung this thing. Prince Charming, Prince Charming, ridiculous, nothing to be scared of. Do you know who he is yet? Great.
Okay.
I'll see you in the morning. I'll sing a few more of Adamant's hits, and I'll get some of my hair took off, and that'll be great.
All right, I'll book you in tomorrow morning.
See you on the next cartoon time.
More new niche BBC digital radio stations for you to enjoy. For the more broad-minded listener, why not try BBC 13? BBC 13 is an X-rated adult version of Radio 4. At 6:30, expect Deviation Galore, as Nicholas Parsons is joined by his regular players, Paul Merton, Linda Smith, Clement Freud, and Big John Dong, for yet another Thrust a Minute. At 7, Hump and the team get to grips with phallic objects in I'm Sorry I Haven't a Cucumber. While at 7:30, Nigel Rees instructs his panellists, who this week include the novelist Julian Barnes and agony aunt Claire Rayner, to get down on their knees for a little deep throat unquote.
Hello and welcome to Crime Watch. I'm Nick Ross. In the Indian restaurant of life, I'm the chicken and chips option. Tonight, we need your help to explain a mysterious disappearance. Were you anywhere near your television last week, and did you hear this terrible sound? That's right. It's the disappearance from EastEnders of any decent storylines for anyone who isn't a member of the Slater family. Just listen to this recent shocking exchange in the Vic.
Here, Pat, I've never seen you looking so down in the dumps.
Well, is it any wonder? It's terrible. Nothing's going wrong for me at the moment. I go over to the car lot with every intention of torturing the place for the insurance money. And all I end up doing is giving Roy his sandwiches. It's no good pretending anymore. I just have to face the terrible truth. My life is really quite pleasant.
Here, I'm not having you talk that way in my pub. We all go through good patches, but what keeps you going is the belief that one day soon everything will be miserable again.
Could the disappearance of any decent storylines for Pat be in any way linked to these two individuals spotted hanging around Albert Square?
Here, Kat, what's been happening since I've been on honeymoon?
Well, Mo, I've been having an affair with my daughter's fiancés for a second time, so she threatened to run off for a third time. She came back from running away with an ex-prostitute who's now running the stall, and she's living in our house along with the ex-girlfriend of the husband of your sister, and that ex-girlfriend has been made pregnant by your brother-in-law, whose workmate and ex-boyfriend of your ex-sister, who turned out to be my daughter and your niece, got run over by the brother of your brother-in-law's ex-flatmate.
Oh, right, so it's been quiet then.
You're watching ITV News. In case of contact with eyes, seek immediate medical advice. Experts this week are saying that listening to certain types of music can lead to violence, something to which anyone who's heard the Cheeky Girls will testify. But to answer his critics, rap artist Eminem has turned his back on his unpleasant old ways and has teamed up for a new single with nice Thora Heard.
Dear Thora, I've decided I'm going to give up guns and sing about nice things like tea and buns. I don't want to see no more bloodshed. I'm going to hold a jumble sale or Beetle Drive instead.
Well, that Dr. Dre said we were being too hasty, but that was before he smelled my homemade pastry. But good for them and ever doing no more bitching, not since he's been helping me in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's right. I've been looking in the fridge, y'all.
It's where I keep my Werther's originals.
And if the boys in the hood don't like what we said,
they can come round here and I'll shoot them in the head. Realize.
New to BBC Enterprises, an audio tape all Letter from America fans can keep and treasure forever. Yes, Alistair Cook's strange and unusual noises. All of his strange octogenarian grunts brought together for the first time on one 90-minute cassette. Who can forget Alistair's classic 10-second pause during this 1981 broadcast?
And as the president lay there...
Also included is that half-whistling noise, half-gasping sound Alistair made in 1971.
And so the war continues. Good night.
And we've even included the rarely heard classic rasping noise from 1993 that was later turned into a chart-topping conceptual album by Philip Glass.
America.
Hello there and welcome to Film 2002 and a bit. I'm Jonathan Watts. My suits are just an all-year-round Christmas decoration. The producers of Harry Potter are still looking for someone to play the wizardly headmaster Dumbledore. To save time and effort, they're only recalling people who have experience with beards.
Oh, wise wizard Dumbledore, you said you had something of grave importance you wanted to tell me.
Yeah, good day, Harry. It's your old mate Dumbledore here.
Next.
Harry, don't defeat Lord Voldemort a little. Defeat him a lotto.
Next.
I'm Brian Blessed.
Next.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Albus Dumbledore. Well, I am if they know what's good for them. Brian Perkins knows exactly how to gain access to the Chamber of Secrets. You just get Jenny Murray drunk at the Radio 4 Christmas party.
Hello.
Hello, is that the antique store?
Yeah.
Sorry for the random nature of my call, but it's John Peel here. I was just sat down, relaxing, wearing some slightly faded charcoal grey combat pants with some faded and slightly scuffed green Doc Martin boots, which is rather charming, but don't let that worry you too much.
What can I do for you?
Well, I just wondered if you might have any home truths or funny little stories or anecdotes that I can use on this week's programme. I was just running a bit short, really.
I wish I could. I mean...
Has anything interesting happened recently?
I wish I could say there has. But this week is not a great one for interesting antidote.
So nothing of even the vaguest interest has ever happened to you in your life?
Well, I'm sure there is, but at the moment I've got three people in front of me all looking at me as if I'm mad, and I would love to stand here and think about it. But
well, that's a good start. Let's embellish it. This is normally how we do things for the show. So you've got three people standing in front of you.
Yeah.
Let's say that they're the Beverly Sisters, wandered into your store, having been very inspired by watching Bargain Hunt with David Dickinson, and they wanted to buy some old antiques. Is that right?
Well, perhaps. Yeah.
And as they were looking around, one of their hairpieces got lost in an Edwardian chamber pot.
Well, maybe they would, but we don't do chamber pots, so I don't think...
You don't do chamber pots?
No, not at all.
Because the chamber pot in which the wig was lost in was stolen by Richard Whiteley, who's done Countdown for 20 years now, and it sent him quite mad and brought out certain criminal tendencies.
Listen, I'd love to talk, but I've really got to go.
No, that's fine. That really is all we need. You've saved my life. Thank you. Goodbye.
Good evening. I'm Albert Bragg. I bought half of Boots this morning. Congestion charges are nothing new to me. Tonight on the South Bank Show, we pay tribute to the one man credited with inspiring a whole generation of young British artists. Men who turn the art world on their head are often known by simply one name. Picasso, Rembrandt, and now joining their ranks is Rigsby from Rising Damp. Tracy Emin paid this tribute.
Yeah, I can never thank Rigsby enough. I'll never forget when he showed me to my room and opened the door. I just took one look at the filthy bed, the stained mattress, the squalor all around it, and I instantly knew what I had to do. Stick it in the Tate and win the Turner with it.
Rigsby spoke to us exclusively about how his genius inspired others.
Yes, it's uncanny. Down the years, everyone who has taken lodgings with me has become an internationally renowned modern artist. Christopher Feely scooped the Turner with a painting made from elephant dung. Well, I can tell you exactly where he scooped that dung from. That's what we found under the bed after Tracy removed it. And that Martin Creed, he'd never have come up with the idea of a room where a solitary light bulb flickers on and off seemingly at random if he hadn't lodged here.
But amongst all the praise for Rigsby, there is one dissenting voice.
Yes, I, Brian Sewell, despise Rigsby. Not just because he inspires a generation of narcissistic non-entities who are noticeable only for the vacuous, preposterous and parsimonious tone of their so-called creations, which lack any form of intellectual rigour, but also because he still hasn't fixed the radiator in my room.
More new niche BBC digital radio stations for you to enjoy. BBC 19 is the station that broadcasts your favourite bits from the last 3 years of Go For It. But bad news, the BBC has cancelled the planned launch of BBC Jarvis, which was to be our digital channel featuring 24-hour rolling Martin Jarvis.
Yes, that's right. They were going to make a channel which featured me 24 hours a day. But they realised that that's what Radio 4 is anyway.
And now, book at bedtime. Bram Stoker's Dracula, read by... oh, Ozzy Osbourne.
This is Channel 4, isn't it? Radio 4, I am. Still, here goes nothing. He awoke just after midnight. It was dark in the room, but by the moonlight he could see what seemed to be a bat flying around the room. Well, there's what seems to be a bat flying around the room, he said. Suddenly it took the shape of a man. Behold, I'm the Prince of Darkness, it said. I don't care if you're the Prince of Wales, just off out of it.
And now on Channel 4, Nigella Lawson tells us all how to brush our teeth.
First of all, you need a tube of toothpaste. I always like to use one that's thick and completely engorged with fluoride. So gripping the tube firmly by the stem, using your fingers to caress and squeeze it lightly but firmly until, sure enough, the end of the tube should ooze out and form thick white paste onto your brush. So then you just playfully insert the brush into your mouth. And to make sure it gets in all the cracks, begin a stroking motion. Up and down, up and down, up and down, faster and faster, until your whole mouth is just frothing with a creamy white freshness. Now, take it out of your mouth, rinse it off, and as for the stuff left in your mouth, take care never to swallow and always to spit. Where must my journey take me, O wise wizard Gandalf?
Far, young hobbit, but it will be worth it. You must set out west from the Shire towards the Ford of Broiden. Beyond that, you will come to the Misty Mountains. Many a young hobbit has perished there, but have courage and you will not. Cross Jazalore Gorge until you reach the Fangorn Forest. Press deeper and deeper into the gloom until you gaze upon Pelennor Fields. For beyond that lies the bridge of Khazad Dûm and the fiery Mount Doom of Mordor, where your quest will be at an end.
And you're definitely sure my digital radio will work there?
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwall. It was written by Tom Jameson and Niff Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, Henry Naylor, Gerard Foster, Colin Birch and Paul Carenza. The producer was Katie Tyrrell. It was devised by Bill Dare.